Rutherford Issues with Brian Barrett on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna, and streaming at WGNSradio.com.
We're back here on Rutherford Issues, powered by Middle Tennessee Electric. Seriously looking at solar energy? Well, MTE offers a free consultation with an energy expert. They have an entire library of educational resources as well. Learn more at mte.com/prosolar. We are going to be talking about Cannon County Save today. Lisa Baird joins us here in studio. And Lisa, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. It's been a little bit, but
sure has.
Glad we've had the time to catch up today. And
uh-huh.
Thank you for my gift of salsa, too.
Oh, you're welcome. I love making salsa. Every year I do my own garden and make my own salsa and tomatoes, everything. I do everything.
Yeah, it's. I can't
wait. Enjoy it.
Can't wait to dig in for sure. So, tell us what Cannon County Save is. What is it that you do there?
Cannon County Save is a 501c3. It's a domestic violence agency in Woodbury.
Okay.
We are. We have a 15-bed shelter. Beautiful shelter, I might add, and we have a wonderful story of a wonderful man actually from here in Murfreesboro who donated our facility several years ago, and he's, bless his heart, he's passed away now. He donated in memory of his wife who had passed away. Of actually, it came about by one of our segments here on the radio with you.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, I guess I can tell his name now, Mr. Charles Farah. He was an awesome man. I miss him terribly. He was a wonderful man. He heard me on the radio one day up here. It was back in, I think, November of 2015. I did a segment with you, and and he heard me talking about the need for our shelter and everything. And lo and behold, he actually purchased that building for us, in which we are now in. And he bought it in memory of his wife, Miss Pat, who had passed away. And now we have kind of lived, not officially, but for us, we have actually renamed it Mr. Charlie's House and have a plaque outside. His son and daughter-in-law helped us get a plaque and then renamed it Mr. Charlie's House because he used to come down and visit us a lot and bring apples and things for the kids, and he was just a wonderful, sweet man.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's passed away. He passed away, I think, in December of 19. And just a sweet, sweet man.
Did a lot for not only Rutherford County, but of course Cannon County too.
Oh yes, had just a wonderful, wonderful heart, gracious heart, giving heart.
And no telling how many lives that shelter has changed now.
Oh, he has, and you know, to tell him that what he'd done, you know, and he just say he didn't, you know, that we were the ones doing the work, but I mean he didn't really want any thanks or any, you know, anything. I couldn't thank him enough for what he had done.
Yeah.
And his son and daughter-in-law now are just so appreciate them, what they do now for us.
Well, that's a secret that I've kept all these years too. I didn't know that, I remember him calling and wanting to know who was that. Do you have contact information on who that was on the air with you? And so I gave it to him, and you came back probably a couple of months later, and it was you're moving in.
Yeah, it happened so fast. It was unbelievable. You know, it was amazing, and then the outpouring from the community, you know, and all that came and helped furnish the building, because you know we were like, how are we going to furnish the building? I don't have any beds or anything for people to sleep on, and people came in and made sure we had you know, beds and dressers and just everything. It was an awesome story. It was a good God story. I tell everybody all the time, I don't care whether you believe or not, when you hear the whole complete story in its entirety, you know, you can't tell me you know that all that just happened.
And it takes a lot of volunteer effort.
It does.
Doesn't it, to run a shelter?
Oh, it does. And we love our volunteers. Volunteers are awesome. We have a wonderful volunteer coordinator, and I have to give her kudos. You know, she, Tracy is great. She makes sure that all of our volunteers, you know, she coordinates everything, gets everything done, and keeps up with the hours and everything. And she is awesome. But we love our volunteers because they do everything. And we have some that do like maintenance stuff, and we have some that do yard work and you know, just whatever. And mm-hmm. then we have some that will go to court with clients and sit with them and just be support and help them get through a hard time, you know, because they're scared to go to court alone. You know, we have them do all kinds of things. And without our volunteers, it's hard.
Sure. How long has Cannon County Save been in existence?
Well, originally it started in 2003, but the doors had been closed and shut down. So I became director in July 1, 08, and I started then. And like I said, the doors were closed, and we got the doors back open in 2008. And we've been going strong ever since. Mm-hmm. So it's been interesting.
I can imagine. So, you know, oftentimes it's funding issues.
Yes,
So you've apparently found some secret sauce, at least, yes, to keep the doors open this many years.
Oh, yes. We receive funding from the state and the federal government. Of course, we're working now on our emergency fund, which, you know, we're trying to get it up and running really well, because sometimes, unfortunately, the state and the federal government is slow in getting their money to us. So we're working on building our emergency fund, which that will be in place. So when that money is slow, we'll have that to rely on in cases if there's a government shutdown or in situations like we've had recently where they were slow getting their money to us because they had some issues with people being turned over, you know, I guess turnover and people working for the state. And so they didn't get our reimbursements to us in time. And so we were worried about our lights being paid, our bills being paid and everything. So we were trying to figure out how to keep everything going. And so, you know, we were trying to create an emergency fund, and we're trying to do that now, so in the future we don't have to struggle when that happens.
Sure.
And so now we're working on trying to build that up. So we're working on fundraisers and working on trying to find, you know, corporate agencies that will donate to help build that.
And then that's kind of a stopgap.
Yeah.
So if you do have to dip into that, then when money's come in, you can replace it,
right,
and keep,
right,
that fund there going.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense.
But we've got to get it built up first, you know. So it's been interesting, because like I said, sometimes the state and the federal government, you know people say, oh, well, they get money from them. Well, yes, we do, but sometimes the powers that be don't get that money to you in time, and then you're struggling to make ends meet, you know. So.
And that takes time away from you helping those who come,
exactly,
to the shelter for help.
Exactly. And we stay full, because there's only 36 shelters in the state of Tennessee, and for, let me say that again, 36 domestic violence shelters in the state of Tennessee. And so, and we all stay full because, you know, the statistics for domestic violence are crazy. You know, it's 1 in 3 women will be victims of in their lifetime. And men, yes, men are victims of, as well. 1 in 7 men will be victims of domestic violence, too, as well. Because I have men that say, well, I can't be a victim. Well, yes, you can. But, and we have worked with men, too. And it's 1 in 20 seniors, because people don't think about that as being a domestic violence victims. But, yes, seniors, children, I think it's 3.5 million children every year exposed to domestic violence. And of those, 60% report being physically or sexually assaulted. And that's just reported cases. There's probably more.
Mm.
But, you know, and we see a little bit of everything, you know, every day. And, you know, we do everything from court advocacy, orders of protections, counseling, 24-hour crisis line. We help them with emergency shelter, food. We help them find jobs. We help them find permanent housing. We help them move into their permanent housing. You name it, whatever they need to become self-sufficient, abuse-free, that's what we do.
Yeah. Do you ever sleep?
Sometimes. We try. Yeah. But, you know, we get calls in the middle of the night. But, you know, it that's what we do, you know.
Mm. And you mentioned the shelter stays full, and just imagine, you know, it was not that long ago that there wasn't a shelter. So,
exactly.
I mean, I'm not, what did you do then?
Well,
temporary
housing
or
something. If
they
went to shelter, they had to go out of county, and a lot of them wouldn't go out of county because of, you know, they wouldn't go for services out of county because they were afraid to, because if they had family or whatever. But, you know, it's hard. And sometimes now we coordinate with other shelters out of county because of, for safety issues, because if they know
where the shelter is.
The shelter is, we have to transfer them to another shelter. Mm-hmm. And same thing with other shelters. We will transfer them to another shelter. Theirs will come to us and vice versa.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or if we've had them from out of state because they'll flee another state to get to safety. But before we had shelter, a lot of them, you know, they just fell between cracks.
Well, thankfully, that's not a problem now.
Yeah, and we've had some that, you know, we've lost some. We had one last year that was our neighboring county in DeKalb County that was killed last year. It was a real sad case. And she had called me several times, and I had begged and begged and begged and begged and tried to get her to come in shelter. And she wouldn't because she was scared. But he did kill her. And it was in front of the children. It was a 13-year-old girl. And she tried to call 911, and apparently the dad took the phone away from her, and he killed the mother.
Wow.
And so he's in jail now for the rest of his life. And the kids are now in custody, and it's just a sad situation all the way around.
Yeah, boy, and that's one incident, and you know, the statistics you gave just a second ago show that it's much more widespread than that.
Well,
so
a lot of people don't understand, you know, well, why don't you just leave? I mean, it's not that easy. You know, when a victim leaves, their chances of dying jump 70% when they walk out the door. Because, you know, if you leave, I will kill you. You know, and they know that, you know. And because they've tried to leave before, they find them, and, you know. And if you've got no job, no money, no car, you know, what are you going to do? Because they've always controlled the money. They've always controlled the vehicles. They've controlled, you know.
If you had a job, you can't go back there because, you know, they'll know where you are many times. So, I mean, it's a big decision.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, and if you've got kids, a lot of times, you know, if you take the kids and you leave, well, you're out on the street probably, more than likely. Well, then what's going to happen? The state's going to step in. They're going to take the kids. Because just because you're getting beat doesn't mean the kids are getting beat. So they're going to put the kids back in the home with him. And I say him because majority of the abusers, you know, or of the victims are the females. But then, you know, even though 3.5 million kids every year are exposed to domestic violence, and of those reported, 6%. So then what's going to happen? Well, any self-respecting mother is going to go back and take care of her children.
Sure.
You know, to make sure they don't get harmed. But then, you know, the state says if you're staying with an abusive spouse, they're going to come in and take your children away. So, I mean, it's kind of a, you know, what do you do?
It's a catch-22, isn't it, really? So I know you mentioned trying to build this emergency fund.
Yes.
Are you working with, I guess, anyone who'd like to donate could do that?
Yes, most definitely. You know, our office... you know, I can give you our office number, 615-563-6690. And of course, my cell number, everybody and their brother has it because I get called. It's 615-464-5555. I'm the director there. And we do have a Facebook page, which is Cannon County Save. You can call and we'd be glad. We've had people want to come and sit down and have an appointment, you know, come and see the shelter. We love for, you know, anybody that wants to come and see us to come in, that wants to donate to our agency. We love for them to come down and sit down and talk. If they want to tour the shelter, you know, we don't mind that at all. If you want to see our 990, we gladly give you our 990 and let you see that. Because I know some people have a, when it comes to a 501c3, sometimes they say, oh, you know, no, that, no, we will gladly show you our books and let you see what, you know, we have. And of course you could even meet our board. We have a wonderful board. They're very, hands-on. Our board is great. They work fundraisers. They do whatever they need to. They're very supportive. They, anytime I need anything, I call them and say, hey, look, we need this or we need this, and they'll try and help do whatever they got
to
do.
Right. Well, that's good to have all of that support. And I tell you what we'll do, the podcast that'll go up on the website, we'll be sure to put links to the Facebook page and the phone numbers there for those who would like to donate. And every little bit helps when you're building an emergency fund. So.
Oh, yeah. That's what we're working on. But and then, of course, like I said, if you need help, please call us, because if you're in a domestic situation, you know, you're not alone. And we don't want anyone to be harmed. And we'll help you in any way we can. And you can call us day or night. And like I said, we're 24/7, and we have picked people up in the middle of the night. We have whatever we've got to do, because, you know, love's not supposed to hurt.
That's true. Very true.
And we'll do whatever we can to keep you safe.
Lisa, it's been awesome catching up with you today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Come back anytime.
Thank you.
All right. That is Lisa Baird joining us with Cannon County Save. And again, if you want to find out more, check out their Facebook page. We'll put all of this on the podcast at WGNSradio.com. Thank you so very much for being a part of the show today. Hope you have a wonderful day. We'll see you back here next time for another edition of Rutherford Issues.